Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, election status quo. Also, all 10 constitutional amendments pass. And in Alabama, it's the year of the woman.
Finally, some action.
Girl power. That's right. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and I'm joined today by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, Charlie Walker, assistant to the editors at APR, and Josh Moon, a predictor machine. A predicting machine, right? That's who you are, Josh. Welcome.
I was hoping you would put genius in there somewhere, but that's fine.
I meant to say predicting genius, but Josh called a no red wave.
And there's
no
red wave. I was agreeing with him, too.
He is a predicting machine. Also the columnist and investigative reporter at APR.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but don't worry about those things anymore. I'm moving on. I'm in Nate Silver territory now, baby.
You are, baby. You are. Hey, you know, I want to get back to state politics. You know, Katie Britt is now Senator-elect Katie Britt. We congratulate Katie and her family. If you went to any of the events on Tuesday night, and we went, you know, there was enthusiasm, mostly stayed at most of the events. But when you went to the Katie Britt event, Susan, there were fans.
Yes,
I mean, just hundreds of fans there to see Katie Britt.
It was so impressive. We went through looking for the usual politicos, and they just weren't there. But that room was full of people that were handing out signs and passing signs and just full of enthusiasm, not only just to even see her on stage again.
I mean, Charlie, you and Susan both had a very visceral reaction to Katie Britt's win. What was your thoughts
we
on
did.
The evening?
Oh, just the room that night. Once Katie came out on stage, she was electric. You could see people in the audience just with tears in their eyes. She gave people such hope. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
First female senator from the state of Alabama, youngest senator. I mean, she ticks so many boxes that we're so proud of.
And she's also the only senator with school-aged children. You know, I mean, there are senators there who could certainly easily be her grandparent. But she will be a rising star in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Josh, you know, I mean, you and Katie aren't going to agree on a lot of policy issues. But I did think one thing, if you got to watch any of her speech, is she pivoted from the normal stump speech. You know, Biden's terrible. The economy is awful. We the only people that can do anything about it. And she went directly to a kind of hope speech, mm-hmm. you know, where she talked about, we're going to Washington for our children. We're going to Washington for the working class. We're going to Washington, D.C. to fight for Alabama. And she did sound extremely, extremely hopeful, mm-hmm. which if we have Democrats or Republicans, we need that change from the combative state of mind.
Yeah, you know, and I think if you take a look nationally at what happened, that's what people want at this point. I think the nation overall has soured a lot on the extremism and the extreme rhetoric. And I think that, what she brings to the table is something that a lot of people respond very well to. And that's the fact that she is a younger woman. And she's not crazy. Okay. That helps. And what I really hope is that now she can put behind her some of this nonsense, govern a lot like Richard Shelby. But more importantly, govern like what she's talking about. And that's being a mom and a mother and recognize that this state faces a lot of challenges in terms of being a woman here and in terms of giving birth here. And a lot of it centers around health care and health issues. And I hope that she will go to D.C. and work tirelessly, as she says she's going to address those issues first and foremost, and to give some real hope and some real help to the people here who have put a lot of faith in her to do that.
Well, Susan, go ahead, Charlie.
I was just even on the social media side of it, which I've been watching, people commenting on our elections from people from other states. The comments that I've been seeing on our election of Katie Britt have been almost proud of us in a sense, which is semi-embarrassing, that we were able to elect someone like Katie. They're shocked that she's not, the average Joe, that, she is this young, fresh woman who's going to, hopefully take it by storm.
Oh, well, she's dynamic. That's what people do. If you've never met Katie, you don't understand how much energy that woman has and how devoted she is to this
stuff. I had a friend from New York City say, that woman could light up Manhattan just by herself.
She could.
But she's got a great future ahead of her, and we certainly wish her all the good fortune in the world. She deserves it. Her husband, Wesley Britt, right by her side the whole time, and her children.
Yes.
It was something to see.
Especially here.
Yeah, with Wesley there, they should save a lot on security.
Absolutely.
Well, at one point, I had to go to Wesley to find Katie because he was the tallest man in the room,
so he
could see everybody in the crowd.
I want to move on here and congratulate Governor Kay Ivey.
Absolutely.
Who won re-election for a second time. She's going to be one of the longest-serving governors in Alabama history consecutively.
She is.
Governor Ivey's got her work cut out for her. I know this is it for her.
This is
her final 4 years to get something done. So far, she has always gone after the tough issues, the hard things to do. I think, Susan, we're going to see her do that again, hopefully.
I think she can also have a stronger fist on this because she's not going to be running for re-election or another seat. So she can really get down to business and start getting things done or leading the way. And she's so very good at that. I'm excited to see what she's going to do in the next 4 years.
Josh, the gaming issue needs to be settled. We need to do more with economic development, and we need to fix health care in Alabama. I mean, can you argue with that?
No, it's you can't really. And I hope that she does that. However she needs to get it done, whatever name she needs to put on health care reform in this state, I hope she puts her name on it is fine. I don't care. I'll call it K-Care or whatever, as long as we get some infrastructure in place to support the 300 or 400,000 Alabamians that desperately need some help in that regard. And as far as gaming, you could do both. If you get gaming fixed, you can certainly do health care and pay for it through the gaming process.
That's
certainly
absolutely
a lot of other things as well.
Well, and the thing is she tackled infrastructure. Mm-hmm. She's tackled, to a large degree, prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the big issues still left. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going. And that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it, and unfortunately it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night.
And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Sometimes we have to say in Alabama, the more things change, the more they stay the same. All the constitutional offices in the state stayed in Republican hands. The House and Senate stayed in Republican hands. Josh, even with some newly elected Democrats and Republicans, the balance of power stays exactly the same. It's status quo. Nothing changed.
Yeah, it's listen, you know, the Republicans have a stranglehold. The Democratic Party is has had some struggles, as we might, I think it's putting it mildly.
I was putting it mildly.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm being kind today. I'm being kind. I've got my election predicting genius already confirmed, so I'm going to be kind to everybody. And so I just think that this is a people have gotten comfortable. So I was talking to my wife the other night about, you know, why it's so hard to move incumbents out of office. And it's because of business. You know, businesses get used to dealing with certain people on certain issues and they get comfortable. And right now they're very comfortable with the Republican Party. You know, they've been very pro-business. They've worked out a lot of things that have helped a lot of these businesses. And I think that's helped them maintain this control going forward. And Democrats have got to figure out a way to break that.
Well, and speaking of business people, well, Ainsworth came in with 84%?
84% of the vote. He was the top vote getter, I think, in the state.
I'm very proud of him.
So congratulations. Yes, indeed. Well, and Steve Marshall thought he was running for governor this term, but he didn't, and I don't think he's going to get it the next term. But anyway, I did want, you know, there was some hope, Susan, that Madison County would deliver some wins for Democrats, and it was close by an Alabama standard.
Right.
But as my old Pappy used to say, close but no cigar.
Exactly. It got close in a few of the races, but it just not quite enough. I mean, we're talking, you know, at least, you know 6 to 10 points here.
I mean, David Cole beat Maryland Lands.
Now he's going to have some problems, I think, after this election.
District 10, even though he doesn't live there, Charlie.
Doesn't even live. I still can't understand. Like, I have words, but I cannot process them. He doesn't live in the district. It's we reported that story. The information is out there, and just nothing was done about it. And now he's elected and just going to serve. And now what?
I don't know, Josh. Now what?
Well, I think now that there has to be a challenge filed, and I'm assuming that there's going to be a challenge filed now that he's won. But you know, and we'll see what a judge does. I personally reported on it, and I think there's more than enough evidence to show that he never lived at the house he claimed he lived at when he registered or he filed to run for office. But you know, I think that it speaks kind of to the hill that Democrats have to climb here. They had really, really good candidates up there. All right, let's not knock it. Kim Caldwell-Lewis was very, very good, got beat by Tom Butler. Mallory Hagan worked as hard as anybody I've ever seen work at a campaign and is fantastic on camera and in interviews and knows the issues as well as anybody I've ever seen, and she got beat handily. And Marilyn Lands had support from Republicans, including the guy that held the office for several years. And she couldn't win up here. So this is it's going to take time. But what they did in this election builds for later. And I think that's the thing that Democrats need to understand and push forward on a lot of these races down the ballot.
Hey, in Alabama, go ahead.
You said earlier you wanted to be kind. Well, I don't really feel the need to be kind when the balance of power, yes, we said, doesn't change. I understand people don't like change. Even I'm guilty of that. I don't really like when things change. But that's what's so stupid, and it makes it so hard to understand when we have these amazing candidates who actually want to work for the state and initiate good things that will maybe make us not a laughingstock to the country.
Right.
And we keep electing these old farts who just do nothing.
Whoa, hey, boy, are you down? You're down. That's you millennials.
That was me.
You
that
millennials.
Was me being kind. Oh, yes. Us millennials, you boomers.
No, listen, I think it's a fine point. You know, it is. And what Democrats have got to do, it's a good message to send out there, is that listen, I understand you're comfortable here, but look how much better things could be. And how much more business you could attract. If that's what we're judging this on, is strictly the dollars and cents, line, then look how much better we could be at attracting these businesses if we had the healthcare infrastructure, if we had a better education system, if we had the rivers that we couldn't light on fire. I think those things would register if we could get the message out.
Well, I'm
like you said, they're comfortable and they have their backdoor dealings already settled, so they don't want to uproot and change.
I'm just still trying to get over the fact that I signed her paycheck.
I know. That's usually me that makes that threat. Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, it's rough up here, Susan.
And she would say, psh.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you know, but the margins were, I mean, well, they were terrible for a race. For Alabama, they were pretty darn good. I mean,
they really were.
If you really look at it,
they really were.
55 to 44. In Alabama, that double digit is like, whoa, man, they came close. They came close. But I do want to jump over here to something else, and we got about a minute and a half, and I want to talk about Philip Ensler out of the Montgomery area beat Republican Charlotte Meadows like a rented mule, Josh.
Yes, he did.
He is a bright young man with a bright future. He may be a Democrat in a red state, but this guy has the ability to make a big difference.
Yes. Philip, first and foremost, is a good person. He came to the Montgomery area as a volunteer teacher and taught at R.E. Lee when not a lot of people wanted to go into Lee and teach. And he did that for a long time, came back after getting his law degree and has done a lot of pro bono work in the area, helped get Claudette Colvin's record expunged from her civil rights work when she was arrested on the bus in Montgomery prior to Rosa Parks. What Philip has done there and given back to the community is something that a lot of people recognize, and he will be a fantastic representative for that area, much more so than the person that they got rid of. And I think that what they have going forward now is something that everybody in this state should be proud of, and in Philip Ensler.
Yeah, and I think he's going to work well with people, and he's going to be an inspiration.
Mams Pruti has heart.
For our state. He adopted our state, and we're better for it. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes. Ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, I really wasn't going to get into this, but since I called you a predicting genius, you wrote a column that came out in before the midterm elections. You said there will not be a red wave. And even I, as much as I respect the work that you do, went, what do you mean, man, no red wave? Everybody has told us for the last, 6 months, that this is a tsunami, and we didn't even get a red.
It's more, as Colbert said, a pink trickle.
Yeah, pink trickle. I was thinking of Jell-O. You know, it was like the Jell-O didn't materialize. You know,
it didn't set.
Yeah. No, I honestly, when I wrote that, I kind of felt like I was cheating a little bit, because I had results that I could look at, and you could see what had happened. In the number of special elections, I believe there were five special elections and a and a referendum in Kansas that had already gone before us. In addition to that, we already had a number of early votes that were in where you could see what Democratic turnout looked like in a lot of areas. And so you just take the results of that and you look at the exit polls of what people talk about that led them to the votes that they had. And it seemed like such a no-brainer to me that abortion and the abortion issue and abortion mm-hmm. rights, women's rights to their own bodies and the health cares and to making decisions about what they needed to do for their health and the health of the children that they are carrying, those things drove people to the polls. And that's what was the overriding issue, much more so than the economy or inflation or Joe Biden being unpopular or what crime or these other nonsense that was made up. You know, the economy is going to fluctuate.
Okay, Susan was trying to say. Susan is trying to say something.
I knew, and Josh, I agreed with you. I disagreed with Bill because I knew, or I suspected, that 60% increase in registered women voters. In fact, I asked James Carville himself in an event what effect that was going to have on the election. And by Henry, I think we've seen it. Women showed up. The exit polls were showing that inflation was the biggest issue, and second behind that was Roe v. Wade.
Well, I think in my mind, and Charlie, I'm going to get to you. I didn't mean to cut you off, but Susan's been trying to talk since Josh started. to me, it was, and my valuation of this, and mine could be crazy, but Trump mm-hmm. was on the ballot.
Yep.
Abortion was on the ballot, mm-hmm. and the crazies were on the ballot.
They were.
And all three of those took a shellacking, to quote.
I think January 6th got a lot of people's attention.
Obama. Go ahead, Charlie.
Oh, I was just going to say that the fact that they were all predicting the red wave and not even going out of thinking to give women credit that we would turn out to, vote to protect our own bodies, just I thought was absolutely insane. Thinking that we didn't give enough of a crap to even consider that we would all go out to vote.
Listen, there were a number of polls, and I'm talking about exit polls. I'm not talking about the other polls that people were, when you were calling, because I didn't buy a lot of that. But that were talking to men, and you could see a change in men who had daughters. The fathers out there of daughters, and the change in which way they were voting based on the abortion issue almost completely. And it was a stark contrast in that.
Well,
so
and
this thing affected people in their homes.
I also think that people looked at, Republicans are taking the House, mm-hmm. but by a slim majority. And Senate's going to be up for grabs. We won't know until Georgia's out of the way. But what we are seeing here is more of a return of some of the Republican Party mm-hmm. to a want for civility and a want for to get rid of the crazies.
Stability in general.
If you look at Chris Sununu, you look at DeWine, some of these governors that won big. I mean, These are people that are actually normal Republicans.
Yeah, I think January 6th really got a lot of people's attention about how crazy and out of control things can get. Yeah. And I think the American people saw it and said, whoa, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
I mean, you look at the governor's races in Michigan and places like that. They want civility. They want competence. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a little bit here. Let's see. Ensler had a big night. Republican newcomer Rick Reams, is that how he says his name, or is it Reams? Yeah.
Reams.
He defeated Dexter Grimsley.
Right.
I mean, by double digits.
Yeah.
In a Democratic district, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, this was Reams, who I'm assuming that's how you say his name, because you wouldn't know because he's done so little campaigning. He had in the middle of September. Late September, okay? The man had no campaign website, no campaign Facebook page, had not taken in a single donation from anybody. His only money at that point had come from the Alabama Republican Party, which had paid to put him on the ballot. He had gone to no events. He had not even posted on his personal Facebook page that he was running for office.
Well,
nobody knew.
John Wall, the chairman of ALGOP, personally recruited him to win, to run. And darn it, this guy just didn't wipe the board with a three-term incumbent, Susan.
He did. And wiped it very, very well, he did.
I had a hard time giving him credit. He just didn't do anything. He just relied upon the fact that the district got a little more Republican in the last redraw, and the fact that you had a lot of straight ticket voting out there. That
I was gonna say he deserves no credit. None. Yeah. None for that, John.
Come on, leave Brittany alone. Right, leave Rick alone. Rick doing
it. Listen, it was a great move by John Wall. I'm not saying otherwise. He looked at the numbers and said, we can certainly win this district.
Yeah.
And he put a guy on the ballot and had him do nothing and say nothing, which I guess we could say is probably maybe the best thing that Republicans in Alabama could do. Just get on the ballot and do nothing and say nothing.
Well, that's always what I said. If I ever ran for office, my slogan would be, I will do nothing more than my opponent. But real quickly, Vivian Figures beat back.
She
her,
did. Substantially, her 66
challenger.
To 32. Yep. She wiped the floor with them.
And then
Vivian.
The citizens of Alabama voted to recompile and take the racist language out of the Constitution. And they passed 9 other amendments.
One of which
never
is
seen it happen before. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We'll be right back.